You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
V3CCI.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
KF8 FSO listening.
Connected to CMN Network.
WAFU. I think it's worse today than it was yesterday.
Yeah, Matt said visibility's down, but didn't smell as bad. I'm over here, of course. I think visibility is worse, but I haven't smelled it yet, so making the commute, we'll see how it goes. I had to wear a mask yesterday. It was messing with my old man lungs.
Tell you what, seems like we got some heck of a band conditions going. Band conditions.
You know, I'm new to all this still, and I was listening to the, I usually got my mobile on the IRA repeater, because that's the only one I can reach over here. And, man, there's just some crazy noise coming through there, and it's made the repeater unusable. I don't know, and Matt kind of messed me up yesterday, because he said that the troposphere was working great, and I thought, well, how does that work if you just told me that the smoke was screwing it up?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'd have to do a little research on that. Because a tropo is a temperature inversion, so it sets up a the ducts because of this boundary, temperature boundary. You know, and then you got your skip, your that stuff's up in the upper atmosphere, even the lowest skip. Was it E layer? So I don't know how smoke could have any bearing on any of that. But you're not the first one I've heard say that. So could be just me not being educated on the situation.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at, is I just knew enough to not know. I mean, you guys are way smarter than me. I know I was picking up some skip the other day coming home during the heat without the smoke. I could hear them talking clear as day, but I couldn't get to them. And then I realized that it must have been skip, because it was on a repeater that I normally can't reach from here, so it was just skipping on a frequency. But yeah, it's just it's all interesting to learn. It's I'm kind of a hands-on guy. I gotta do it and learn from it.
Well, anytime it's you know, hot during the day and then it gets cool at night, then you can almost bank on there being some tropo. So, you know, that's what we've been experiencing lately. It's been getting cool at night. But it's been, like, what's it right now, 64? And, you know, and it'll get up to 80-something. So those are absolute, you know, just the recipe for tropo. So that's why I'd be you know, I'm a little skeptical of the, I think it just happens to be, we've also got this smoke, you know, here, so people are, you know, 2 + 2 = 5-ing. But we've had ideal tropo conditions the last several days, in addition to this smoke. So I just don't know if the smoke is necessarily the cause. So I want to look into that, though, because, like I said, you're not the first one that mentioned that. So, so I don't know either. Anyhow, on my way to work here, visibility is about, 83/4 mile, so it's pretty similar to yesterday morning, if not, probably not worse. So I thought it was supposed to clear up a little. It hasn't really done that. This is W8FU. Name is Sean. Geez, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's probably 3/4 mile here, too, and I'm on my way as well, but... Yeah, I listen to you guys. I usually talk to Matt or Jerry on the DOT repeater for a little bit in the morning, and then I get about 15 minutes of you guys talking before I get done. I'm always there. I just listen on the side. Yeah, you know, that tropo, it's, I don't know how to use it to my advantage yet. I haven't done enough with it. I'm happy I've got this EchoLink thing, but I wish I could do more on the radio itself. I'm going to have to figure something out for that, because I'd rather be using the radio to talk to everybody.
Yeah, the problem with tropo is you can never predict specifically, you know, where you're going to go. Generally, yes, you know, it's over the water. And so, like for us... most of the tropo is going to be into northern Ohio, you know, and as far over as, like, Buffalo. Now, it's been, yeah, I've seen others. I've seen it all the way across the state, across Lake Michigan into, like, Wisconsin. Very, very rare, but I've seen that once or twice, and then down into, like, the Indiana, you know, area. It was very weird. That's almost completely over land, so... There's no, you know, those are pretty rare. You know, 9 times out of 10, it's going to, for us, it's going to be southeast Michigan down into northern Ohio. And, but you can't really get specific. You know, it's going to be, you know, here or there. So it's, you got to just take advantage of whatever it gives you. So using it specifically to talk over here, on any given morning may or may not work, and plus it's over a lot of land because you're out in the west part of the state, out there in IRA land, so I don't know that it's often going to be a bad day just to get back this way. You used to live downriver, didn't you?
Yes, sir. I lived in Lincoln Park. Now I'm over here, Three Rivers, and in an unexpected twist of life, I'm taking my old job back there in Livonia starting first week of August, so I'm actually going to stay with Matt Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, because I just can't find the work out here. I mean, I've got a job, but it's... We can't talk about it over the air because people listen, you know. But yeah, downriver, I was a Lincoln Parker.
Yeah, wow. So you're gonna have to stay over here. That's a bummer. It's gonna be. I mean, I guess you got a place to stay for a couple 3 days. How long you figure you got to do that? You got to be looking for something over that side of the state, or you're only planning on doing that for a little while, or that's a rough situation to do long term.
Well, you know, it wasn't in my plan, but they called me last week when I was in a really foul mood over this place, and they made me an offer that I just can't refuse. Fortunately for me, I don't want to say I don't mind being away from home. You know, I don't have family here, just, or, you know, family in my home. I have family here, of course, but I just got my girlfriend. And we don't do anything in the evenings anyway, so I said I'm just going to take the job and go. And then I used to drive over the road, so I'm used to being gone for a week at a time anyway. So, but I told them that I'd give them 2 years. And, you know, now that I'm older, I look at the big picture of life, what I want to do, and I figure with 2 solid years of nose to the grindstone and paying off debt and sacking some money away, when I come back over here, I won't have to work on cars anymore. I can just get a job that'll cover my mortgage and stuff, you know, because I'm looking at the bigger picture, and I'm just going to do what I got to do.
So is that your line of work, mechanic?
Yes, sir. I'm a master tech for GM dealership. I'm world-class tech, so I'm only one of 2,000 in the world. But so they pay me really good. So otherwise I wouldn't do it, because technology is just getting crazy. I hear you guys talking about the new vehicles you're picking up and this and that, you know, the things you drive and the things you rent and whatnot. And I just kind of chuckle over here on the side sometimes, because I know firsthand what you're dealing with, you know. But yeah, I've been a mechanic for 35 years, but I've been in the dealership for, I guess, 10 years now.
Well, there you go. Well, I guess that's, from what I hear, that's good work if you can work the system. I hear the system can be really tough. If you don't get the right jobs, I hear it can be very tough. But if you get the right jobs, then it can be very, very lucrative. So, but that's just what I hear. I have no first-hand knowledge. Yeah, I'm kind of thinking, I don't know, I got a little Ford Escape. I needed a grocery getter that my wife could get in and out of. She's only 5 foot nothing, and so I couldn't get anything tall. That ruled out trucks and big SUVs. She was mad because we had a Grand Cherokee she had a hard time getting in and out of. And, you know, we're getting older, and she's got issues with her knees, so it's not just a matter of being short. It's a matter of being short and having issues with her knees and whatnot, and I don't predict that's going to be getting any better. So I got something. I had to get something low, but I still wanted something I could tow. And man, I'll tell you what, the pool of cars that could do both was pretty short. And the Escape surprisingly gave me factory installed 2-inch towing package capable of 3,500 pounds. Now it's not a lot, but that's enough that I don't need a pickup truck, because I got a really nice trailer. So, you know, that Escape with that trailer kind of checks all the boxes for us. But, you know, it's a 22, and I'm starting to think about, you know, replacing it, even though I only got like 27,000 miles on it, something like that. Think about replacing it. Man, I'll tell you what, the vehicles that are, you know, low to the ground like that, smaller, that are still capable of towing anything meaningful, pretty small.
Yeah, I've heard you talking about that stuff. I'm biased because I work at the Chevy dealer, but I'll tell you what, I like these new Colorados. They look good. They're roomy. Of course, it's taller than anything that you need, but the problem is they're expensive. You get a XR2 package on one of these things, and you're looking at $60,000. The Denali version of a GMC Canyon is almost $70,000 for a mini truck, and it's crazy with just the cost on them. But,
yeah, I was pricing them last night. both the Ranger and the Colorado. And I actually found one that, with incentives and other various things, pretty nice Colorado. Wasn't the ZR2 or anything like that, Denali or whatever the heck. I think Denali CMC, but it was like a LT with all the trimmings. It had all the stuff I wanted, the towing package. And that towing package is like $7,700. So that's a real towing package there. I mean, it's not a monster, but you can tow just about anything with 7,700 pounds. But I actually found one that the price was right with incentives, and my Escape is still worth about 20 grand, and I got most all of that to put down on whatever I get. I don't know. That Colorado's looking really nice. I was going to give the guy a call today and see if I could arrange to go take a peek and sit down with him. But I agree. That Colorado's nice. You probably heard Dakota tell me that I'd be perfect for a Colorado. He's right. That's about the perfect vehicle. Trouble is, just a little taller. So, I'm going to have to sell the wife on it.
Bye. I'm on Stadium Drive in Kalamazoo. Not to change the subject, but it's city, and there I just passed a tractor headed into town, a big international tractor pulling one of them 10,000 gallon septic tank or the manure tanks. I wonder where he's going. I wonder if somebody downtown has made a farmer mad. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, if it's a new Colorado, you go over to Feldman, tell them I sent you over there. They might get you a little better deal. If it's used, I can't help you on that. But I think if I didn't mind spending the money on one, I think I would be interested in one of them. And I work on, that's what I was going to say a minute ago. In the dealership industry, I've made myself valuable because I specialize in transmissions and diesels and EVs. It's all the stuff that nobody wants to do. But so I pay attention to the things that I don't work on. And the Colorado is one that I don't work on much. And the there's one or two SUVs that I don't work on much. And I take note of that when people ask me, hey, what would you buy?
Yeah, that's good to know. Good data point. And that's another one. Wally was on here telling me, so the nice thing about the Escape, and I'm sure the Colorado will share this as well, is that they're really common. There's a lot of them out there, and it's like, so repairing them is going to be probably long term is probably going to be more affordable. You'll be able to get the it's a truck, so the parts are going to be more heavy duty and whatnot, but it's you'll be able to get everything pretty easily at AutoZone or whatever. You won't be. I was looking at a Volkswagen for a minute, Tiguan, because the price is really right on those. But it's not a bad vehicle. It gets pretty good reviews and all that, but a little bit more expensive to repair, a little bit harder to find everything you need for it in stock, so there is that.
Well, future repairs that aren't under warranty, if you're going to keep getting new ones, then you don't have to worry about that too much.
Anyhow, is that the drive through there? Did I lose you?
All right, Bo, I've made it to the establishment, so I got to go in here and try to get two nickels to rub together. So I appreciate the response and talk this morning. And I hope you have a great day and a good weekend when you get to it. KF8 FSO 73.
All right, have fun. Catch you later. W8FU.
You're connected to CMN Network. connected to CMN Network.
KZ8KJO.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KPR.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Oh man, are gas prices up again?
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Good afternoon, sir.
W8DPD.
Hey, Mr. Brian, how goes it? Here in New Baltimore, we got a little bit better visibility. I'd say a little over a mile. Maybe not. Almost a mile. Well, I'm done playing outside for the church anyways. Now I gotta go home and vacuum my pool, and I'm going to do that from the inside.
Don't you have one of those robots? I see that friends of Marion's had one of those things that run on a lithium-ion battery and a solar charger panel on the top of it. And it goes up, and it goes down, and it does the bottom, and it does the top. It's pretty cool, actually.
I've only got 24-foot round with two floor drains in there that stick up, so it's not worth it for me. Besides which, with those floor drains, I vacuum it like once, maybe twice a week, unless we have a lot of storms.
Yeah, floor drains are the way to go. There's no doubt about that. So years ago, when the kids were little, we had a pool in the ground, and that's what the guy said. Anyway, I let them put them in, and I'm glad it did, because a lot of times, always, this was before all the fancy robots and everything, all you had to do was grab the brush and push everything towards the center.
Yep, that too. I got some leaves on the bottom from last week, the storm that went through. I was on vacation, and I did a quick clean-up, and I haven't had the chance to go out and play in it, because been too busy. I was actually out golfing on Wednesday and all that good stuff, so do my good thorough cleaning of the pool today and I'll be good for another week.
There you go. Save your pennies and buy a battery solar powered robot. And then just toss that puppy in there. It was a pretty amazing device. I don't know what it cost, but it came with the house. But kind of cool how it can dive and float and dive and float. Last couple times I was there, it was doing the surface.
Yeah, well, you know, the older I get, the more I enjoy being in the pool when it's like this. When it's really hot and the water's really hot, it's no fun anymore. My wife likes it that way, but I don't. I like a nice 75 to 85 85, just take a dip. It's a little too warm for me.
I go somewhere in the middle. I don't like 75. It takes a while to get used to. I think that's where the lake was at last time I was out in it. I was right in the mid-70s. She wouldn't get off the boat, but I did. So I felt like Jack in the Titanic, but she stayed on the boat. She wouldn't even put her feet in at 75. The 80s, she will. So, but, well, let's see what it looks like. So other than that, not too much. I missed the net last night. Kind of figured I was going to. Dinner came right exactly at 7 o'clock, which I thought was what was going to happen.
Well, I was looking forward to the in-person. I got all my stuff to get my level 1 done, but just have to do that the next time we meet in person.
Yeah, or just meet one of us or any one of us somewhere. It'd be easy to do. Going to help out in the Dream Cruise this year, or don't you know yet?
As it stands right now, the only thing that we've stopping me is not getting my level 1. Other than that, I plan on being there.
Yeah, I did it last year. In one breath, it's really exciting, and the other breath, it's boring. So, bring a tent. That's what I did. Pop-up tent. The sun will bake you. So we brought pickup truck, one of those, you know, 10x10 pop-up tent thingies with the four legs, bolted it down to the ground and put some chairs and some water, and all you do is observe. So, but it's cool to see all the cars, and there's some pretty creative stuff out there. I've got to give the world credit. There are some amazing things out there.
Yeah, well, instead of wasting the gas and cruising around, I'll go sit myself in under a shelter and have a little bit of fun watching everything go by this year. It appeals to me.
Yeah, there are some really creative vehicles out there. We did enjoy some of them watching it. And, of course, it is Berkeley and Royal Oak, so it's always find a fantastic place to eat, you know. I know they offer the food, but the restaurants on that road are just like, how can you say no, you know? WAV.
Yeah, well, like I said, I don't have the time, the energy, or the want to own a classic car, but God, I love to watch them and see them. But yeah, I'll do that and socialize with everybody and have a good day and save a lot of gas, because last time, you know, 3 years ago, I went through 2 tanks of gas, just cruising back and forth.
Yeah, I'd rather watch than cruise. So, you know, it's kind of funny, I've got, in our family, we have got, my dad was into that stuff huge, so was my brother. They both have since left us, but right now it's sitting at my sister's house. It's a 1932 Ford pickup truck. Completely redone. I guess probably by now it needs some attention. She's beautiful. And my dad, before he left the world, made sure that I wouldn't go after it, you know, for my brother. And I had no intention of it. But then my brother turns around and goes and leaves us. So now the truck needs a home. And I'm not sure where it's going to go, but I'd like to see it. My son is interested in vehicles, so I think that might be the plan. I might have to go get it one of these days and find a place to put it. He would be a good candidate for that truck.
Yeah, well, my intentions always were to get a house with a 3 or 4 car garage and find something. I had a 72 Javelin back in the day, and I started reworking that, but when I went over to Germany, I had to get rid of it because my father wouldn't store it for me. Excuse me. Yeah, Ned, I've seen them come and go and keep saying, well, eventually someday, maybe when I retire, well, we'll see. But, yeah, I just, there are certain cars I love. There are other cars that I enjoy seeing, so we'll have to see what I can find.
You know what? If I was a younger guy, you know what would be my next toy? A toy barn. My best buddy's got a toy barn, and it is freaking cool. He just had got floor heat in it, just ordered a boiler for it, got wall air conditioning, you know, those mini splits, got a couple of those in there. The problem is it's out in the boonies, and I do mean out in the boonies, but it's a pretty secure building, and I think he's got it alarmed with a cellular alarm system, so, but that's the thing, you know, you buy toys, no matter what it is, every guy is into toys, be it radios, be it cars, be it boats, you know, there's always something, so the problem is with toys, you need a place to keep the toys.
Well, I've got 10 acres up by Mount Pleasant. That's a little too far for just, you know, storing stuff, but I do have the mobile home on there that we can spend time on. And I need some place to store DVDs and the zero turn and all that good stuff, because what I bought is not just before. So I've been working on Mama. I can always put up a really nice barn here that I can grow into. And she keeps saying no before I say what size I want.
Stay persistent. You'll eventually win.
Yeah, I figure if things go well, we'll build a nice little house up there. And that'll be more reason for me to build a barn up there. And like I said, I just make it big enough that I can put, you know, three cars in there, a couple of motorcycles, and all the other play toys.
There you go, just like we talked about. Well, Mr. Brian, I'm going to step out. Pleasure talking to you as always. I'm glad to see retirement life is fitting you well. I'm sure you missed the plant. And we will chat a little bit later, clear after yours, because I'm almost where I'm supposed to be. I'm taking Marianne out to lunch, because today is the anniversary of the day we met. So, met her in Partridge Creek Mall.
Enjoy your lunch. I was going to offer my better half lunch, but she went out to breakfast with her half-sister, so I don't know if she's hungry. But enjoy your lunches. Have a great day. I got to unload the zero-turn mower and clean myself up. W-H-E-E.
I consider a zero-turn mower a toy. I know some people consider it work, but that would, if I had lawn, big lawn, I would have one of those just for the experience of driving it and just for the experience of watching my mobile drive it around. Later. W-H-E-E.
Well, my birthday was a week ago on the 10th, and she let me buy it. So, all right, have a good time. W-H-E-E.
W-A-W-W-A-W-W-A-C-O-X, FBI.
Hey, John.
Hey, did you get my text on that radio?
Yes, I did.
And I sent an email to Keith also, so we're pretty much washed up on that end.
All right. Well, I guess congratulations are in order.
Yeah, finally decided to pull the pin. Time was right, so now I'm officially retired.
There you go. All righty. So the other ones are a work in progress. So I don't know if it's going to be real soon, but we're working on it.
Okay, thanks. Have a good day. We'll talk to you later. W-A-B-O-X.
All right, John. We'll catch you later. W-A-B-O-X. WFU. WGU.
Yeah,
currently connected to CMN Network.
KAPR.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
KCKJO.
Hello, Tom. How the heck are you?
Oh, on my way to Saginaw from Holland. How are you?
Awesome. You say you're in Saginaw?
No, I'm heading to Saginaw, coming from Holland.
Oh, awesome. I don't know. What repeater are you on? I'm on the KC8UMP Mount Clemens repeater. Over.
I am on the Durand machine. What am I at? 23 miles from Flint.
That's awesome. I can't believe these radios, how they get out like that with the linking of all these repeaters. That is just awesome.
I didn't know much about them being linked until a few years ago when I got a new radio and it was on UHF more than VHF.
Yeah, well, when I got into this hobby, I just thought it was going to be like a walkie-talkie. I had no idea that they had DMR and FAT8 and or whatever it is and all this stuff. It's just mind-boggling. Just to think I'm sitting here talking to you on HT and you're up in Flint, that's just mind-boggling.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm up here on the Durand repeater next to Flint. You're down there on the Mount Clemens repeater. And you know, then we got DMR, P25, System Fusion, you know, YSF, you know, for digital. Oh, and D-Star and a couple others. Yeah, it's amazing. Like I said, I didn't know any of this existed until a couple of years ago, and I've been a ham for almost 30 years. Hey, CKJ.
Yeah, and we got the MI5 network. That's another amazing thing. And the MI1 network, and what is there, another one, the MI8 or something like that? Or no, I don't think we got MI8 anymore. That's for GMRS. And, wow, just mind-boggling. Makes this hobby very interesting and, you know, a lot of new stuff to learn. I haven't even learned about that YSF and all that other stuff. All that other stuff yet. I've got to learn a little bit at a time. Just got the DMR down, now it's on to other things.
Oh yeah, I got DMR down to a T now, and you know, and knowing how to program the Motorola radios, you know, with GPS. And of course OpenGD77. And then I got the Yaesu System Fusion, which is, you know, digital. Yes, is its own separate animal in regards to certain things.
Yeah, I just moved that DB25D, that little itty-bitty 20-watt radio, into my mobile, and I was talking to you on DMR the other day from that thing. Now I don't have a radio in here in the shack, so I'm just using the handy talkie, over.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I got my HD sitting at home. But I also got an open spot for DMR. Then I got an all-star node. Then I got another hot spot here in the van. So when I get out of the DMR zone, I can still connect up to MI-5.
Yeah, I think I was talking to you on MI-5 when you were using the hotspot in the van. How's that working out for you?
Oh, it's doing quite well. I'm on my mobile right now. You know, well, I'm within the range of any of the MI-5 repeaters, so I can use my mobile, but when I'm down in Battle Creek or something, then I use my HD.
Yeah, have you heard anything about whether we're going to get the Mayo repeater up? And how about around that Traverse City area? We got to get one over here on that side of the state. I don't know what's going on or how I can help. Do you know anything about that? Over.
I'll come down to location, and funding. That's why miles down is there's some stuff in progress in regards to that. In Traverse City, I think you could probably hit the Cadillac one or the Petoskey.
From Traverse City, but I don't know much about it.
Honestly, I know that Milder, you know, there's discrepancies in regards to that location, and I think they're trying to find another location.
Yeah, I remember some talk about a year ago about possibly putting DMR in Richmond. I don't know if there's something going on with that or what's going on. Or
I'm not sure. I know Richmond. I mean, we got the Richmond site there for UHF, and then we got the receive site for W8MAC. I think right now the power is full, so again, that all comes down to funding. You know, who fronts the bill and who pays the rent kind of thing. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with talking about it. It's just, you know, coming up with ideas and getting things together and moving forward.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'd like to help out in any way I can to make this coverage better in the state of Michigan, although the coverage that we do have now is really great, I think. It goes all the way up to the UP.
Yeah, well, if I ever won the lottery, believe me, the whole state would be covered with the funding that I push forward to get things done, more or less, because money would never be an object. But that's a pipe dream. And the pipe is very, 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 very big.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Hey, how's the smoke out that way?
Smoky. It fluctuates. You get a little bit of clearing. I mean, I actually have sunlight. But then there's clumps, you can just see this clumps of brownish-gray smoke on the freeway.
Yeah, that's what I expected. I heard that it might be pretty bad tomorrow, too. At first, EGLE was saying that it was going to clear up tonight, and it might clear up for a little while, but then it's supposed to get bad again tomorrow, so we'll have to see what happens with that.
W8, RIT.
Go ahead, RIT.
Hello, gentlemen. If you would refresh me your name, I think I know it, but just if you would just refresh me on it. I think it's Bentley, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't know if you've been out, but Jerome, I'm not certain where you're at. I'm over little bit worse than previous days. I do. I think it seems like it's a little bit heavier now.
Hey, hey, KGL. Well, I can see a little bit better today, and the sun is poking out, and it says it's 89 degrees. Where yesterday, where I was at, it was high 70s, and it was just smoky and dismal. So, but I'm looking towards the east, and I still, it's just gray. You know, and yesterday when we went from the west side to the east side, it got worse as we got in back into our area, into Flint. So, I'd say it's about the same.
Hi, Bentley, this is Brian. I believe we spoke before in the past. I just got cataract surgery in my left eye. Everything is all clear and everything, but when I look through on the right eye, it's all cloudy, just like looking through the smoke, and it's all dull and yellow and gooky. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I sure as heck do. And, okay, I was mistaken. It's not Bentley, it's Brian. Good afternoon, Brian. No, the name here is Dave. I just needed a refresher. I didn't hear your call sign, but now I know your call sign, NABVR. But, I don't know. My opinion is I think it's a little bit heavier for the smoke today here. Each and everything seems to be lightened up, but, you ask me, it seems like it's a little bit heavier today, I think. I'm going to go take a look over the weekend here, see if I can detect where all these Canadian wildfires are at. I wonder if they've done anything different, like on a different strategy. Like are they just going to let the wildfires burn out unless it's approaching, you know, properties with human lives? So I'm just wondering if maybe that's why these past couple years we've been seeing this, because I'm talking to my sister yesterday, and I said, when I was young, and I think we're probably all relatively around the same age, but even 10, 15 years ago, did this ever happen? I have never heard of this happen here before. Maybe out west, you know, they have a lot of wildfires, but never heard of it before, so I'm just wondering if, like, maybe Canada has done something different in, like, their wildfire fighting strategy.
It all depends on where the location of the fires are. If it's in an open area that they can't get to and there's no damage to property around, they'll just let it burn. You know, but if there's property around, then yeah, they're probably fighting it. But when it gets so big, there's only so much you can do. I mean, look at the Pacific Palisades fire of last year. It just could not control it. It just went up and it just kept going. But of course, you got all that EV and battery and lithium crap out there that kept it burning a lot longer than it needed to be. Brian, go ahead. Casey, hey, Joe.
NABVR. Yeah, I was watching a YouTube today from Canada, and the Canadians were talking about the fire, and it sounds a lot worse than what they're reporting in the United States. From what you see on Channel 2, 4, and 7, you know, they just say, oh, yeah, it's smoky outside. But, my God, you should see it. There's so many fires, and they're just north of Lake Superior. And there's hundreds and hundreds of fires up there, and they're just burning like crazy. And, you know, I guess they don't use fire breaks up there, or maybe they can't afford to put them in, or what? From what I heard, one of the guys was talking about that they don't use fire breaks. Over.
Yeah, that could be. That very well could be. And, Brian, did you happen to hear anything on the report from the Canadians? Last I heard a couple of days ago, I think it was something like 840-some wildfires or something like that. I don't know, if, you know, how many square acres each one takes and such, but yeah, I'm going to have to go see if I can do a little research heard of this before except for the past couple of years, and you know, all the time I've lived here in Michigan. So I say I was just wondering if they were doing something differently here. But yeah, I don't know about, you know, they probably always have done that, though. I imagine, maybe not, but I think they probably always have done that as far as letting the player burn out if it's not going to endanger people on property and such. But maybe if it is approaching, you know, population, that's the part that they would focus on. But that still wouldn't explain why this hasn't happened, you know, since I was a young boy all up till now about. I don't know. I haven't really heard too much. It's probably not that much to be concerned about. It's like just being in a campfire, I imagine. Although I do recall on Monday when I left, there was like a plastic smell, like burning plastic in a way, kind of like. When I came home, I was like wondering, like, what the heck? Is there like a house fire? But I wasn't certain of it because, you know, I've smelled house fires before, and they all have a distinct aroma. So I wasn't certain what it was, and I heard it on someone make mention of it about the air quality, and like, okay, air quality, and somebody made mention of wildfire, and I put two to two together and started looking. I'm like, oh, that's the cause of it.
DC3DCS Mobile. Who knows?
Oh, sure. Join the conversation, then toss it over to Tom.
Trash buried or something like that. As it's all speculation, I guess you can say. Oh, I didn't know there was a leak back there.
Huh.
But, all I smell is burning pine. And that triggers my asthma, so got the recirculator on and just cruising down the road here through all this stuff.
Go ahead.
I think there was a new station checking in. I think it was Station Indian Sierra. I think, gosh, I can't remember your name, but it was KFA-FGS. But anyways, the station breaking in, go ahead and pass it over to Brian.
Guys, this is Echo 3, Charlie Sierra, Tim in Windsor. I looked at the fires, five major fire groups in northwestern Ontario, and there's one major fire group in northwestern Quebec. There's a bunch of ground water, and they just don't have equipment to handle something that big. These fires are nature, and some of California's fires are like species of.
Yeah,
hey, Tim
and
Windsor, I'm not sure what tower you're on, if you want
to
try the Detroit tower, if you're not on
that.
I know you're making it, but
very
sporadic. Go ahead and try the 442175.
And now the Canadians are looking for people to foster people's pets. There's all kinds of pets that need help. And that's real sad. NABZR, go ahead.
Okay, there was a little bit of a double there. Tom, I think I heard you mostly, but I heard both of you simultaneously. But Tom, go ahead and give your information again to the other gentleman.
I didn't mean to step on anybody. Tim, I think that's what his name was over there. I heard BE3 and couldn't get the rest over at Windsor, but I'm not sure what tower you are on, but try getting into the LTS tower and try it again, unless you're just in a bad spot. Okay, see you, KJ.
Okay, he was a little bit rough here, but we'll leave a spot here for him. Well, let's see. I thought you were talking about a little bit of some rain today here. I'm thinking that would help clear it up a little bit here. I don't know if it had, like, sprinkled a little bit overnight or anything, because I came out in the morning. It looked like there were some, I don't know if it's condensation or not, but it looked like there were some water drops on the van windshield, but they were all kind of like a gray, like they had the soot in them. You guys have to hear anything about the weather as far as chances for rain.
Should I take it?
I
Now go ahead, Brian. I got to get through this construction. Casey, could you?
Okay, yeah, I was saying that a lot of the First Nation people have been burned out of their homes. I mean, entire communities of people up there. And Canada is looking for people to foster their pets. I guess the pets all need help up there. It's pretty sad. Go ahead.
And W8RIT. Well, I would if I could, but I can't. Due to the fact of my living situation here with renting it. But yes, I certainly do feel for them. I mean, that's part of it there, too, you know, with their pets and that. But there's a lot of other worries and concerns, and yes, I can certainly feel empathetic for them. Think about it this way, Brian. It's kind of a good source of self-worth when you do some emergency communications to help out other people when you're able to, who are in circumstances like that. So give yourself like a little pat on the back for it, you know. You certainly deserve it here for, you know, at least stepping up and doing a little bit to help, because that's all it takes from everybody here, just a little bit of help and things will get done. But yeah, just anybody who has something like that happen, you know, whether it's a flood or whatever, you know, and they lose all sorts of major items in their homes and their homes, yeah, can certainly feel for them quite a bit. I just watched a video a couple weeks back. I don't know where it was at. I think it was somewhere down south, but it was showing a guy, and he was, you know, kind of excited about a big thunderstorm coming through his neighborhood, so he was, you know, taking a video, and all of a sudden, I don't know if they edited it or not, but all of a sudden, the video restarted again, and it had been him starting the camera again as his house had fallen upon him. And I think, boy, just thinking of what he must have been feeling at that time, you know, seeing his house totally collapse in a few seconds, just, wow, that's like a, that's certainly a traumatic event, I'd say.
Yeah, boy, I hope he has some insurance. Holy cow. Rain, I don't think, is going to do much good for the smoke today, because they said that with the way that the weather pattern is, there's going to be a cold front moving through, and it's supposed to push more of that smoke down here from up north when we do get that rain. So it might rain, but it might not do much for the smoke. And the particles are so small, they're 2.5 microns. They say that they can even get in your blood. They can get in your lungs. And those diapers you wear on your face aren't helping any. You need to have like an N95 mask to cut it out. And they said that the particles are so fine that they can even go into your bloodstream. Go ahead.
Connected to CMN Network.
Sorry. Blood cells and such will be able to filter out all of the contaminants for me here. Because right now I'm not wearing a diaper on my face, and don't know if I really want to go to wearing a mask. So I'm just hoping this won't be very prolonged. Maybe a couple more days or so here, but we'll see here. But it sounds like it may be a little bit longer from what you're telling me there. Especially if we get the cold front pushed even more through here. Wonder what else it's been affecting. I was thinking I maybe should have tuned around or maybe see what, you know, maybe like for pilots, if they have any kind of advisories out for this, which I'm probably pretty certain that they do, but that would be the other thing I'd be kind of curious on. For the smoke that we're seeing, just kind of curious, I wonder how high up in altitude it goes.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know how high up it goes, but I suspect it's clear up there, because with this phenomenon, it's kind of pushing the smoke down to the ground. So I think it's clear up there, but I don't know for sure. I don't know. Hey, Dave, I'm going to get going. I got to back out of here. I got to get back to this problem with the computer. I'm redoing all my passwords and stuff. I got My Fidelity account got hacked, and I'm trying to clean everything up here, so I got to get back to work on this. So, nice talking to you, 73. W8RIT, I believe it was. Dave, thank you very much for coming back to us. Tom, I'll talk to you later. And this is NADZR. We're monitoring.
Okay, 73 Brian. And, just strong password for all of them here. Change them all good. Get a password manager and all that stuff. Backup. I just had my, well, I didn't have my Fidelity account hacked, but I had another bank account hacked, so I had to transfer. I transferred all over to another bank, man. And hopefully it's all good for right now here, but I would certainly wish that they would start prosecuting some of these people here. Well, just be thankful, Brian. I'm assuming that you still have all your money, so that's a good thing. So I'll let you get back to it, and have a great evening. W8RIT.
That sounds like a good story.
Give me a word, Dave, I guess. W8RIT.
You're connected to CMN Network.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec. Anyone out there?
Currently connected to CMN Network.
W8FU.
Hello, Sean. This is Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec.
Hello. Well, that was weird. Hold on. I keyed up to answer you, and when I unkeyed, I didn't hear a beep, and I looked up, my radio shut off. Very weird. Wonder if my start-stop happened right in the middle of that, because I was at a light. Anyhow, no, I was just saying I'm over here on the Lower East Side visiting my kids and my grandkids before they go on vacation, and on my way home, what's got you out and about?
I'm on my way home from work today. I was chatting with a coworker about antenna stuff, and I think I'm going to try to make myself an NFED halfwave.
I'll be curious to see how that works for you. I've heard they work pretty well. I'm a resonant antenna guy, so the random NFED I've not been a big fan of, but I understand an NFED halfwave can work pretty well. So I'll be curious to see how it works for you.
I've done an NFED before a few times. This time around, I'm wanting to do it without the counterpoise radio thing. I think, for my guesstimation, it might act horribly, but at the same point in time, from what I think I know now, maybe I could actually get it to work somehow. I'm not fully certain on that. Back to you.
You know, I just don't know enough about them. I'm a big fan of resonators, and I know they work really well. You just got to get them up in the, get the center up in the air 30, 40 feet and fan out the legs, and they always perform super. I've not found much performs better, so I'm kind of a dipole guy, and haven't monkeyed much with other things. I want to try a loop. That's absolutely on my list. I've heard great things about loops.
I ordered some stuff from Chameleon to try to see if I can do a loop and see how well it works. My guess is it's probably going to work okay-ish, especially since it has a 4-to-1 transformer thrown in the mix. I just ordered like a part or two since I have a lot of antenna stuff already that seems like it should work well together. I think there was just like the oddball 4-to-1 transformer, which I just didn't have at all at home. Not afraid of making one myself, but making one and having it structurally supported, that's a little bit different. So that's where I was kind of looking at trying one. And I was kind of curious because I heard they're kind of directional from what I understood. They're kind of like the loop antennas, Delta loop is kind of like the bigger or the smaller loops. So, yeah, either way, back to you.
Yeah, I think it depends how you run them. If you're doing a vertical loop, I think you're going to have definitely some directivity broadside to it. If you're doing a horizontal loop, that's kind of a cloud burner, depending on the band. That's what I'd be doing, a horizontal loop. Not a lot of directivity on that. What band are you shooting for? And you going to have it oriented vertically or horizontally?
It's going to be a vertical one, and it's going to be kind of like their tactical delta loop that Chameleon offers, where you have two whips going up at roughly a 90-degree angle, 45 off from a vertical, and then you have a wire at the top with a 4-to-1, I believe, transformer on one of the sides to feed the whole antenna loop. That's what I'm going to try. It's going to be vertical. It's going to be directional, probably, and I'm going to be trying to run it on the 20-meter band, since I think that's what it might be most optimal for. I am not certain. I will probably end up running it on whatever band I can tune it up on.
Yeah, when I think loop, I think you get the lowest band you make it for, and then everything above it. That is kind of what I've heard. I'd be talking about one horizontally and something for 75. I mean, 160 would be great, but 75... And then supposedly a 75 loop, horizontal loop, will get you just about anywhere in the band, and they're supposed to really scream. Not a lot of directivity, but they're cloud burners, NVIS kind of, sort of. But, that'll work. You get it up there like that, and you'll probably be directional off the sides, and I don't know what degree. But sounds like fun. Do it. What you waiting for? Just kidding.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the 4-to-1 to come in from Chameleon before I try to do a delta loop, because I think without that it might be a little bit harder to do. And also what you were talking about, I remember hearing of a concept called a loop on the ground. And you can use that, and it's supposedly a great reception antenna, because it doesn't necessarily pick up anything, because it picks up stuff from all sorts of directions. And then on paper, you can use a vertical as a transmit antenna, and use two different antennas, one for receiving and one for transmitting, and that should be good from what I've understood.
Yeah, a lot of guys do that. Verticals are great for low angle takeoffs, provided you got radials or good ground. And, they do pick up a lot of noise, verticals do. So, but they'll give you a nice low takeoff angle so you can, take advantage of the DX. And then in the city, they can be quite noisy. So you run a loop or something like that. For the receive end of it, sure. That's a solid plan right there.
That kind of reminds me of when I ran a dipole versus a vertical. The dipole I ran, like maybe it was 9 feet off the ground at where it swung down to, and that one wasn't all that bad. And I think I got like 3 S units maybe of a difference between that and a vertical that was just mag-mounted on the roof of my car. Granted, the roof of my car might not have been the best spot to mag-mount it on, especially when the car was running, but still, I was just trying to get numbers for a rough comparison.
Oh, that's what it's all about, man. That's fun. Play with them and see what works and come up with your own plan. A lot of people have a lot of different favorites. You know, I've not played with a lot of them. I just go to my go-tos. I've done verticals, many verticals in the past, and I'd like to do, like, a pair or even three verticals on 40. I've got the property for it. I'd also like, maybe get, have you ever seen the high-gain Hightower? I'd love to come up with one of those. I've got the property for it, and I could get a bunch of radials underneath it. I would very much like to put one of those up. But that's just a multi-band vertical. I think it uses stub tuning on most of the bands. But it's all fun. It's all a matter of what you're used to and what you play with. I've done some multi-band verticals and mostly dipoles. I've done some G5RV variations, the ZS, whatever, BKY, the modified G5RV. That worked pretty well. I got that antenna set aside. I was going to use that at a remote location with an automatic tuner because it got me all the bands with a pretty modest tuner. So it'd be good for a remote location.
You'd mentioned about a G5RV, and I had thought about making a doublet type of an antenna, but currently I don't think I necessarily have the idealized tuner for that, and I think there's a bunch of other tiny things, just like how it's kind of harder to get a giant antenna high up in a tree at a park, which is kind of where I'm struggling with right now. So I just have to be able to set it up there because my parents don't want me to have the antenna in the attic, which all I wanted to do was a 20 meter in the attic. So, yep.
How much property do you have? Do you have room or do you have any trees or property, or is it all off limits?
I live with my parents right now, so it's kind of one of those things where there's power lines on two sides of the area, so it's not like I can get too far away from wires and power lines and all that. So that's where the safety question comes in, and then that's where the only idea that I had was throw up an antenna in the attic, and my dad doesn't like that because he thinks, regardless of whether it would or wouldn't, in reality, that it would definitely bring a lot more lightning to the roof, even though we currently have an antenna in the attic already. Not an HF antenna, just one for TV historically.
Yeah, I get a lot of that in my line of work. You know, we put up radio systems and towers, and you wouldn't believe the stuff. People come to council meetings and we're gonna get cancer, and we're gonna go blind, and we're gonna get the 5Gs. You know, it's like we get all that. People that don't know, get real worried about antennas doing stuff like that. That's a little bit more of a reasonable concern than most, but I understand where it's coming from. But yeah, you're right. It wouldn't contribute to the danger there at all. So, I get it. Well, it's going to cause you to get creative. So look at the bright side.
Yeah, I think you're going to the Oxcom training over this weekend. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. I was going to ask you the same question. See if we can see you there.
This is Kilo Foxtrot, Echo Tango, Quebec. One of the questions I kind of had was I heard that, I think his name is Bob. Either way, the dude who's leading it, he wants us to send him a text message before we travel there and travel back. Is this kind of a thing where he wants us to send a text message when we're leaving home on our way to a 5-minute drive there kind of a thing, or am I missing something else?
Yeah, I think that's what he wants. I was looking at that. I'm thinking they're going to use that as kind of a part of the training or exercise. You know, I don't see it as being anything that would be necessary or required, but I think they're doing it to, as part of the training. But yes, in fact, they do want to text when you leave. So I'm going to shoot one off and just say, leaving now, ETA X. That's pretty much what I'm going to do.
I like that idea. That's awkward. I think I see police lights up ahead, so I'll just put the radio down for a second.
Yeah, I don't want to tempt fate again. Well, I just pulled up in the driveway with carry out, so I'm going to get inside. I'll turn the radio back on when I get inside. We'll see you tomorrow if I don't talk to you in a little bit. W8FU.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
K-E-8-W-E-8.